egging me on. And I thought, I'm going to punch this guy. And I thought, and something in me was like, I don't know. And then it got to be that day where he was doing everything he could to have me throw a punch at him. And I, you know, you ever been there? He's like, okay, I'm gonna knock his block off. And somehow teachers broke it up or that. And one of my friends said, Jim, are you crazy? I'm like, what do you mean crazy? They said, do you know that he is a well-respected Golden Glove boxer? And all of a sudden I thought, he was egging me on so he could knock me out. And here's the thing, we're talking about life in the ring. As a believer, we are in the ring. But here's the thing that I realized that day, life lesson. Before you get in the ring, you better figure out who you're fighting. And we understand in the end, we win because of what Christ did on the cross. So how, before that time comes and everything, you know, is done and we know that Christ won, how do we keep from getting knocked out in our daily lives? There's one thing, and we'll talk about offense in boxing, but there's another thing called defense. And I read this about some boxers. It says, if you watch two skilled boxers in the ring, it's all about employing strategies using your strengths against your opponent's weaknesses. And you have to study your opponent. It says it takes intelligence. You have to know what your opponent is going to do in the ring. You have to figure out their strategies, and they will allow you to perform at your highest level. Once you understand your opponent's tendencies, you can take defensive maneuvers to avoid getting hit and to launch your own attack. Here's what we know about the enemy. He can never destroy God. And so he has a purpose to destroy you and me. Last week, I believe that we shared this verse. Don't you realize that in a race, everybody runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Run with purpose every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. In Ephesians, it says this, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities and unseen worlds, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. And if you were to read this and understand how it was written in the original language, it talks about there are head officers, there are staff officers, there are divisional commanders, there is a host of wickedness, rank and file wickedness. All of these were kicked out of heaven, and their purpose is to give you and me the knockout punch. Again, the devil can't destroy God, but he will devote his entire being and the host of evil to try to knock you and me out. In Isaiah, we get a little bit of history about the evil one. For you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of the gods far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heaven and be like the Most High. And that was the devil's plan. Why did the devil fall? Because he thought, I don't like where I'm at. I am going to be above God. I am going to be God. And this is how the scripture goes on. It says, instead, you will be brought down to the place of the dead, down to its lowest depths. Everyone there will stare at you and ask, can this be the one who shook the earth and made the kingdoms of the world tremble? The devil would rather be a king in hell than a servant in heaven. He was kicked out of heaven, and his goal and purpose is to destroy God's people. Let me share with you another scripture, and this is what I would call an offense. But it again gives us a little history, gives us a little background, gives us a little study of what the enemy's plan is. This is what Peter wrote in 1 Peter. He says, so humble yourselves. Why did the devil get kicked out of heaven? Because of pride. And the scripture says, that's why you and I, we need to humble ourselves under the mighty power of God. And at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So this is the strategy of the enemy. This is the strategy of those who were kicked out of heaven. This is the strategy of those chief commanders, the other commanders, and that host of wickedness. Stay alert. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. In other words, everywhere around the world, there are people who are living life in the ring. We're trying not to succumb to the enemy's attacks, not to get hit by the enemy, but to stand firm in our faith. And one way to do that is to be humble. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by the means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you. He will place you on a firm foundation. I love how this ends. It starts with be humble, and how this scripture ends. All power to him forever. Amen. One boxer said this. He says, you have to stop your opponent from hitting you in the most vulnerable areas with punches that are designed to hurt you. The staff was teasing me. They said, hey, you should wear some of those boxing shorts. And I said, if I did, I'd wear them like up to my neck and, you know, no hitting below the waist. I said, but I thought, I don't know how that would look on me. So I decided I better stand against that. But let me tell you where, if the devil had three punches that are designed to knock you out, designed to destroy your life, I know exactly what they would be. And the first one is this. I mean, if the devil had a right hook, now I'm left-handed, so I should have said a left hook. But if he had a right hook, if he had one punch to knock you out, it would be this. He wants to create division. His tactic is to divide and conquer. I mean, this is so old. This has happened. I mean, I don't know if you've ever studied it at all or looked at military strategy. But this is absolutely a strategy. Matter of fact, there's a part in Book 6 of The Art of War where it says a captain should do everything he can to have another captain's men distrust him. Or for the captain to distrust his men. He says, employ any art you can that would cause distrust. And what is that? It's division. He said, and if you can, make another group that you're fighting, make them divide. Make them feel like they can't stay together strong and they have to divide. Because when you divide, you conquer. You think about this. Anytime there is division, the enemy is lurking by near. In the very first chapters of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, the serpent, which is the devil, and we could talk about all of the names of the devil. We'll just talk about this one. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals that the Lord had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? So the devil slithered in and he says, you can't trust God. He's trying to keep from you the best of the best. Don't trust him. Let me divide you. And that was a pretty big knockout punch. We all suffer from that. Well, it's not just Genesis chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 4. The devil did his work to divide the very first family. He even says to Cain, "Be careful. There's an enemy lurking. Don't fall for this." And what he did is he put this pride in Cain, and Cain was angry. He says, "Hey, Abel, let's go out in the field." And he murdered his brother. Wherever you find division, wherever you find division, you have to understand the devil is working. He wants to divide our homes. He wants to divide the place where you work. He wants to divide school. Well, if we had school. He wants to divide the church. He wants this poison of suspicion. He wants this attitude of intolerance. He uses selfish ambition and jealousy to divide us against each other, and he's right there in the middle of it. I don't know if it was a month and a half ago, I had a dream, and in this dream, there was so much commotion going on. Just commotion, and everybody's focus was in this commotion. And I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, "Jim, don't look at the commotion, because that's really not what's going on. It's something far greater, and it's over here." And as I've watched things in our society and I've watched how things have been going on, that has just permeated my heart. Jim, don't just look at what you can see. What's going on behind the scenes? And anytime there's division, the devil is lurking. You want to know one of the major things the devil likes to do to destroy people? It's divide us. In James chapter 3, it says this: "If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it." I like that. I like that. Let your behavior match what you believe. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by doing a couple of things. Live an honorable life. In other words, live a life that matches the scriptures. And it says that, and do good works with humility that comes from wisdom. In other words, if you're wise, then live according to the scriptures. And then he goes on and James writes, "But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying." And James is one of those people who, you know, there's some people who will step on your toe and not scuff your shoe. James will just like run your foot over and he doesn't even care. But he's seen what can come into the church. He's seen how the devil works. He says, "For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic." Now listen to this. "For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every kind of evil." Where there is jealousy, where there is disorder, there is every kind of evil. If you want to be able to stand in these trying times, if you want to be able to not get knocked out with what the devil's wanting to do, then we need to look very closely beyond what's going on. And anytime there's division, the devil is lurking. And the devil is wanting to destroy us. Now, how do you know if something really is of the devil and really is of God? Well, this first part, where there's selfish ambition, where there's truth, where there's boasting, where there's lying, where there is jealousy, where you find disorder and every kind of evil. I had a good friend of mine, my really good friend Gary. He called me Saturday. He goes, Jimmy, you got to pray for us. I'm like, okay, why? And he lives on the campus of Eugene Bible College. And in 1964, they built a 50-foot cement cross to honor the college. He said, well, life is crazy right now, as you know, and there is a protest coming tonight, and they're going to tear down the cross. And my home is close to the cross, and I'm a little bit concerned. He said, they believe that this cross was put up in honor of the Ku Klux Klan. And he said, Jim, I know the history of this cross, and it's not true, but I cannot even be in my home tonight because I'm afraid of what's going to happen. Do not misunderstand me right now. I love everybody. God loves everybody. But that is not anything but from the pit of hell. It just is. And I love everybody. But there is an attack. Again, it's not all that we're seeing. It's behind the scenes. It's in the dark places. Our battle is really not so much against flesh and blood. It's against the devil who's trying to rip all of us apart. If you want to know if something's of God, listen to what it says here in verse 17. What a contrast to jealousy, selfish ambition, disorder of every kind. The wisdom from above is first of all pure. So if it's not pure, we want to question. It's also peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy. It shows no favoritism, but it is always sincere. I'm telling you, if there's a scripture that we could post on our brains and live throughout America, this would be it. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Where there is selfish ambition, you will find disorder and every kind of evil. Somebody has asked me, well, who do you trust with this COVID thing? There are experts who are saying we're in deep trouble, and then there's experts who are saying we're not in deep trouble, and I'm so confused, and I'm thinking, well, confusion is probably not the thing of the Lord. I said, I'll tell you who I trust. I trust the person who stands to make no money. That's who I'll trust. I mean, just me. I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm thinking, if you can make money off of this, I think I want to trust a person who can make nothing off of this. What do we need to know when it comes to fighting the devil? We need to know his schemes. Sometimes a really good defense is the first step to an offense. And one of his schemes, and it has been as old as the beginning of time, is to divide you, to divide your home, to divide your friends, to divide your work, to divide your community, to divide our nation. It's a beautiful military strategy. And the rank and file of wickedness would absolutely love to divide us and then conquer us. And that's what he did with Adam and Eve. And that's what he did with Cain and Abel. And you know what I know, and you know, the devil can't destroy God. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross to forgive us our sins, has absolutely put the death blow on the devil. He knows he's running out of time and the time is short, and he would rather be a king in hell than a servant in heaven, and he's going to do everything he can do to divide us. Everything he can do to confuse us, to make us feel hopeless and helpless. And because you're a Christ follower, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a Christ follower, you're in the ring. There's no way out of it. I mean, you're in the ring. And whether you like it or not, the devil's purpose is to destroy your life. I know that Christ wins in the end. But how do you and I keep from getting knocked out today? We look straight in the eye of whatever comes our way, and we ask this question. Is this pure? Is this peace-loving? Is this gentle? Doesn't mean we can't have square our shoulders up and stand up for what's right. Am I willing to yield? Does this just seem like there's something else? God, I want to know. Is there favoritism being shown here? Is this sincere? Are we sowing seeds of peace that will produce a harvest of righteousness? Let me share one last verse, and this is a great verse. While the devil has tremendous power, absolute power, not absolute like God. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, absolutely the devil can destroy you, and he will destroy you. As a follower of Jesus Christ, here's what I love.
Jessica.
And this is John. He's writing in, you know, kind of like an old man. By the way, Aaron sent me like a bad message yesterday. He's reading the scripture and he says, a guy with gray hair is, what am I, Aaron? Righteous and something. And here's what I thought. I thought, Aaron, I don't have gray hair. I have white hair. And you sent this message to your wife as well. And I'm thinking, Aaron, you're a bold man. But no, here's the thing. Why did I say that? Just to call you out on something? He'll never send me a scripture again. He'll probably send one that says, repent. Jim, is that peace and patience? Are you sowing truth here? Let me tell you what the scripture says. Oh, I know. Now I've looked back at my notes. I can get back on track. John is an old man. I guess I was comparing myself to John. He says this. You, dear children. He's addressing us with such love and concern. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Talking about the principalities of wickedness. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. Understand that. Well, I have a deep respect for what the devil can do. I have an awesome wonder about God Almighty. Greater is he that is in you than these principalities of wickedness that are in the world. Greater is the one who is in you than the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world's viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. They are of the world, and the world listens. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God doesn't listen to us. This is how you recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. I don't know what's going on in society, but I know who holds society.
Good job, big guy.
On this earth, and it's the enemy. But then I also know this, there is the precious word of God. And the precious word of God, I'm going to trust. I am going to trust the word of God. I like the cool music now. Is that my sign that I need to be done, or is that just like, oops, we don't know why it's on? Oh, Jonathan, you startled me. Let me give you a kind of a side hug. I won't breathe on you.
All right, thank you.
Wow, you startled me. I see Zach in the back. I'm like, I don't. I'm back. Jesus, come quickly. I need your help. Here's what you need to know. The bottom line today. there's a lot of stuff going on, and who can figure it out? Not me. And it's not my goal to figure it out. It's my goal to lock on to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. It is my goal to read the Word and say, God, I don't know what's going on, but greater is He who is in me than these things in the world. God, here's what I know. I am not going to be the person who shows favoritism. I'm going to be the person who sows seeds of peace. Doesn't mean you can't have a strong backbone and stand up for what's right. But there are things that are going on that are not of God, and they're trying to divide all of us. Jesus wins. And if you want to not get knocked out until it's all done, the first thing you need to think about is anytime there's division, the devil is lurking close. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. I encourage you today, trust in God. Don't shortcut your prayer life. Don't shortcut understanding the Word of God, because we are being fed all kinds of things. All kinds of things. Is it not confusing, friends? Is it not unnerving? Is it not... I mean, when they're going to tear down a cross at a Bible college on private property... get that. But then when I read the scriptures and see that there's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, we're in the ring. And the best strategy, the punch that we can throw, is anytime there's a division, there's an enemy lurking. Let's pray together, and we'll have the folks who are leading in worship today come up and lead us in one last song. God, I want to pray this scripture. Would you help us to understand and have discernment for what is pure, what is peace, loving, and gentle? Would you help us to yield, to be full of mercy and good deeds, not to show favoritism to anybody, but to be sincere in how we love other people, whoever they are. Will we, Lord, be the ones who stand strong, but to be peacemakers for the things of God? God, would you remind us that we are your dear children, and we are from you, and we have overcome these things that come our way, because greater are you that is in us than the power of the enemy in this world. We don't just want to think from a worldly perspective. We want to have wisdom from above. We want to listen to your spirit, Lord. God, what an honor that we get to be together today and have our first time to live stream. Thank you, God, that you're in control, and this is not the first time that the church has been attacked. It's not the first time that the enemy has tried to destroy the things of God. Thank you, God, the church is growing. The church is on the move. People all around the world are watching church at home, and some are even have the privilege of being right here. God, give us your strength in trying times. Give us your strength, we pray. Fill us with your spirit. Thank you, God. What an honor to be with Hope Church at home and the friends of Hope Church who are able to be here in the building today. Bless them, God. Keep them. May your face shine upon them. Oh, God, fill us with your peace. In Jesus' precious name, we pray.